beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Praise God, another day of worship. Oh, I'll tell you, it's just wonderful to worship God. This is my favorite time of the week. Bible Home Church. The Word of God going into homes across this planet and preaching the Bible. You know, when we're going to name the church, we at first thought about naming it just Home Church. But, you know, God had other plans, and we ask ourselves, well, where does the Bible come in? Well, of course, God's church is based on His Word, but I just decided, led by the Holy Ghost, to put the Bible right there in front. Bible Home Church. Bible Home Church. Well, before we begin today, got just a couple letters. I love getting letters from our friends out there. And here's a precious sister. I wish I had time to read so many, but these are just sort of a sampling of some of the letters we get into Bible Home Church. This is from a sister, Geneva Fisher from Hamilton, Ohio. She says, "Dear Brother Tex, the programs you did on God's chosen people were very good. The scripture explains it very well." She writes, "Keep up the good work, and if the people are not informed, they will perish." Signed sincerely, Sister Geneva Fisher. Thank you, Sister Geneva, for writing. And I'm glad that you enjoyed our programs, God's Chosen People. Who are God's chosen people? Here now is another letter. This is from, well, it's a sweet little girl. She wrote it. Took her the whole page to get across it. I looked at it and I said, what does this say? It says, "To Tex Mars, I love your preaching. I am from Rachel. Jesus loves you." Well, I thought, well, this is the scratchiest writing I've ever seen. I'm sorry, "I am 7 from Rachel. To Tex Mars, I love your programs or preaching. I am 7 from Rachel." And then she wrote down right below her name, "Jesus loves you." Well, then I looked at the envelope, and this is Rachel Cordes from, oh my goodness, Berwick, Victoria, Australia, writing us. So I decided to write back a little letter to Rachel. I'll read it to you. I hope Rachel doesn't mind me reading her letter that I wrote her over the air to the whole world. I know it was a private conversation that she and I had, but hope she doesn't mind too much. I wrote her back and I said, "Dear Rachel, I loved receiving your letter. How wonderful to know that God has a bright 7-year-old in Australia who loves the truth and is willing to be a good Christian. Your parents must be very proud of you. I certainly am. Wanda and I have a granddaughter, Rachel, who is 7 years old, just like you. My granddaughter, Elizabeth, and I sometimes have long talks together. She is smart, just like you. You are in my prayers. Love in Jesus' name, Pastor Tex Mars." I love receiving letters, and wherever you're at in Australia, Ohio, Texas, Florida, or Romania, I don't care. I love to get letters, and especially love to get letters that identify prayer needs. We're a big believer in prayer. And you know something? We want to hear from you. If you've got a prayer need, it can be for something that other people just think is just picky and small, but that doesn't mean God thinks it is. It may be something big and magnificent that He wants to do for you. Now, don't ever think that anything is too small for God's attention. He's counted the hairs on your head. And He wants to hear from you. You pray to God and you ask us, and we'll pray with you. And you see, we'll be in agreement. And I believe even today, as you're there at your home and I'm here at Bible Home Church, we're in agreement. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst thereof. I believe Jesus is with us right now as you listen to this program. Any of you have needs out there, I'm asking Jesus, our Lord, right now to touch your life. Lord Jesus, please be with all the people listening to this program and meet their needs. Lord, you know that there are loved ones that need a touch of salvation. There are others who need a touch of your healing, yes, of their bodies. And God, you can heal. You've healed all throughout the Bible. You've healed the bodies of the lame and the sick. Lord, there's some that are just sick of discouragement. And there's some that are depressed. Some that are brokenhearted. Your Bible says that you've come to mend the brokenhearted. And we believe you can do that. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you be with all of those that are brokenhearted and hurting. Those whose bodies need healing, that are afflicted. We ask that a complete healing be given. And yes, Lord, a healing of the soul for loved ones that need you. We ask that you enter them, Lord Jesus, and that you bring them to repentance and to your love and your mercy and your grace. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus and because of the blood of the cross. Amen. Well, we're going to continue today with There's Plenty of Room in Hell. I'm getting some controversy out of this one. I like this one. I love controversy. I'm getting some response. Some people are saying, preach on. Preach it, brother. And some people are saying, oh, you're so mean. You're so judgmental. Hey, better to hear about hell on this side than on the other side, my friends. But if you want to know how to avoid hell, if it bothers you, well, you just have to listen to part two today of my sermon. But better yet, even before my sermon, we're going to have a little bit of heaven right now. You're going to learn how to escape hell. That's right. How can you escape hell? By God's amazing grace. Johnny Ray Watson's going to sing about it right now. Amazing grace. This song never gets old.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Lord, through many dangerous toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and that same grace will lead me home. Oh, when we've been there, Lord, didn't thou come here? Oh,
Did you know that 24 times the word hell is mentioned in the New Testament? 24 times. And of those 24 times, Jesus mentioned it 16 of them. He must have thought hell was an important concept for you to know about. It's one of his doctrines. Say, well, hell, that's not important. Well, did Jesus waste his time? I don't think so. Now, there's many words. There's words in the Bible. There's, you know, we talk about, we can go to the Hebrew and the Greek and all those things. And there's hell and there's Sheol. And then there's Hades. And then there's Gehenna. And then there's Tartaru. And, oh, there's all these. Listen, there is hell and there is heaven. See, but text, there are gradations even of heaven. Oh, I know the Apostle Paul talked about that. And I'm not going to get into all the little gradations or the fact that there might be different heavens. I simply want to tell you, when you get down to the sum of it all, there's heaven and there's hell. And you are going to go one place or the other. And I want to add, I don't care what your prophetess or your prophet has told you, or what some book or some pastor, liberal or conservative, has lied to you about, hell is real, hell is torturous and horrible, and hell is forever and ever and ever. You say, oh no, because my prophetess told us that when we die, if we were sinners, we would be annihilated. We would just be burned up. Well, I'm sorry, but your prophetess lied to you. And I pray very much that she is in heaven, or he is in heaven, because the fact is, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The devil would love to have you believe that, oh, if you're a sinner, when you die, you'll just be burned up. If you were a sinner, you go before the judgment throne, God say, okay, you were a sinner, now burn him up. I guess they get out their flamethrowers, you know, like Fahrenheit 451, just burn you up. That's it. No way, friends. No way. That's the atheist heaven. You know, I talked with Madeline Murray O'Hare some years ago. We had a little talk. She had her atheist foundation here in the city of Austin, where I'm from. She told me I was stupid for believing in the Bible. I said, Madeline, you need to worry about hell. That's where you're going. And she laughed. She had a big laugh. She says, I know where I'm going when I die. I said, where would that be? She said, I'm going to the grave. I said, what about your spirit? She said, there is no spirit. Jack Kevorkian was asked by an interview, you know, he's Dr. Death, helps people in these so-called assisted suicides. He was asked, what happens when you die? My friends, listen to what he said. Listen to what Dr. Death, Jack Kevorkian, said. What happens when you die? You know what his answer was? And I quote him, quote, you rot. You rot. That's Madeline Murray O'Hare's answer. You just die, that's it. And then there are these false cult prophets and prophetesses that say, well, you're just burned up. That's the end of it. Then there are other false ones that say, well, you get another chance. You'll come back. You get to do it over and over again till you get it right. Listen, my friends, I want you to know something. I'm going to preach from the Word of God on this. It is said that there are only two sure things on earth, death and taxes. That is not true. Yes, death and taxes are a reality. But there's two more things you better know about. There's death, there's taxes, there's heaven, and there's hell. And you better know that's two sure things that exist. And only one of them is your destiny. Only one of them is your destiny. Now, let's face it. The word grave and hell cannot be interchanged. It just cannot be interchanged. It's not going to be interchanged. The grave is a resting place. But now listen to what Jesus said. He said, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 46. Now, I want to bring your attention to several key words here. Jesus Christ himself said that if you reject the Father, you are cursed, and your destination, the rest of your whole future, and that is forever, he said it is everlasting fire. Temporary fire? No, everlasting fire. Annihilation and that's over? No, everlasting fire. You just die and you rot? No, everlasting fire. Your body just turns to dust? No, everlasting fire for you. Don't confuse you and your body. Everlasting fire, Jesus said. Everlasting punishment. When he, Lord of this universe, said everlasting, don't try to redefine it and say, well, everlasting really isn't everlasting. Come again? You better get out your Webster's dictionary. You obviously don't know the English language. And whoever is preaching you doesn't understand it either. And I'm sick and tired of these false teachers out there. And these false prophetesses and false prophets, whether they existed 100 years ago today, that can't read plain English. Everlasting fire. Everlasting punishment. But the righteous, life eternal. How long? Life eternal. How long? Life eternal. How long is eternal? Everlasting, of course. Matthew 23, verse 33, Jesus said, ye serpents, he's talking to the Jews, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? John the Baptist said that. You know, if you really want to get the picture of hell, just read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 and 23. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, this is one of the most graphic stories in the Bible. You say, well, that was just a parable. Oh, no, no. Listen. Listen. When Jesus spoke a parable, he told you. Read Matthew, Luke, all of the parables. You will see every parable Jesus gave us, he said, this is a parable. This is a true story. There was a rich man. He died. He was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Let me read that again to you. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Sound like that fire lasted a little while. And you know what? He was told. He said, if you could just go to talk to my brother and tell him how bad this place is, he'll believe you, then he won't end up here. The angel told him, no. If your brother does not believe the prophets and the scriptures, he wouldn't believe it even if an angel came to him. He said, if you could just take the tip of your finger and put a drop of water on it and come touch my tongue, it's so parched. No, not possible. Hell is real. It's a terrible place. The Bible says we are to learn good doctrine. Listen to this. from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Till I come, Paul wrote, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What did he mean? He means, until I come there, he says, you read the Bible. You exhort, that's tell other people about the Bible. Exhort it, preach it, speak it. And give attendance, that means give your time to reading it, to exhorting it, and to doctrine. Well, what is doctrine? You know what a doctrine really is? It's a belief. It's what you stand for. It's truth. All of God's doctrines put together into a body of doctrine. Please don't make it too technical. It's just, here are God's truths. That's what the Bible's all about. Now, I know the Jews, they've got 613 laws, and they've got, you know, 70-some-odd volumes of the Talmud that interprets every little law, every which way, these rabbis and the so-called sages. Forget all that. See, because God has written His law in your heart. But He does have doctrine. He writes it into your heart, and you can read about it in His Word. One of His doctrines is that there is a hell, and the wicked are going to go there. And it is an eternal place of great terror. Now, in her little book, A Scriptural View of Hell, Dr. Kathy Burns tells you what hell is. She says hell is a place of wrath. Hell is a place of sorrow. Hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of consciousness. You'll know you're there. Hell is a place where you will recognize other people, and they'll recognize you. Conversations are held in hell. People in hell will have knowledge of events and remember their past. Hell is a place of torment and pains. Hell is a place where people see the need of soul winning. Let me give you that last bit. This is biblical, by the way. Read about it in Luke 16, verses 19-31. Hell is a place where people will understand there is a need of soul winning. A lot of people don't know there's a need today, even Christians. But if you get to hell, I pray you will never be there. You'll know of the need for soul winning. A lot of people say, well, why would God do it? Why would God send people to hell? You know, my friends, I'm not here to question God. I do know this. God loves people, and He doesn't wish anyone to perish. And He pleads with men. He begs men to come follow Him. But if they don't, what are you to do? There are people who just want to rush right into the fire. What can you do? You preach, you exhort, you teach, but they still want to go there. Why did God create hell? Well, I do know this much. The Bible says that He created it. He prepared it first for the devil and his angels. You know, it wasn't even meant really originally for people until the fall. Hell wasn't meant for people. God prepared it when the devil and one-third of the angels rebelled. God said, oh, you're not happy up here with me being your Lord and God? Well, I'll make a place where you'll be without me. And it won't be a nice place. It says in the Bible, God has prepared this place first for the devil and his angels. But wait, mankind, because of sin, are now, the wicked are turned into hell. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Isaiah 5, verse 14. You know, we now have 6.2 billion people in the world, demographers say. 6.2 billion. I have no idea how many are Christians. Let's just say of 6.2 billion, the 0.2 are Christians. I'm just speculating. God knows. None of us know. It'll be a pretty big place, 6 billion. But then it includes all those who have ever died that didn't trust God. Oh, don't think God is not building a place big enough. It's enlarging down there, getting bigger. A lot of people say, well, Tex, you don't understand. God would never burn people in fire and torment forever and ever. He's not that kind of a God. You know, my friends, you better not tell God what He is and what He isn't. You better read His Bible and find out for yourself what He is. Here's what it says. Here's what God said. He said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then they're burned up. Did you hear what I said? Unquenchable. It never stops. Remember one time, I can't remember what it was. I think I played tennis with some friends. I was in high school. Boy, it was a hot day. It was about 105 degrees down in East Texas. And, I mean, the first place we headed out for was the root beer stand. And, man, I got a root beer. I think it was one of those giant ones. It felt like a half gallon. And, man, I just drank that down. But, you know, finally, I couldn't take any more. My stomach was sort of pooching out. You know, I couldn't hardly move. I was quenched. But, you know, this is a fire that is unquenchable. Mark 9, verses 43 to 49 refers to the fire which never shall be quenched. Never. How long? Never. Unquenchable. Listen to this. How bad is it? Here's what it says in Revelation. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. I can't even imagine. Fire and brimstone, but you don't die ever? He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. How long? Forever and ever. Talked to a Christian one time. They said, but you don't understand Tex. I said, what is it I don't understand? They said, forever and ever is a period of time. I said, well, how long is it? They said, well, we don't know, but it's just a period of time. You know, I felt like just saying these people are insane. Can't they hear themselves? The Bible says hell, the smoke of their torment, ascendeth up forever and ever. And they say, well, that's a period of time. There is no time with God, my friends. Don't you understand that? That's the one small thing Einstein was about half right on. Time is relative. God doesn't go by your calendar or clock.
You've been listening to Bible Home Church with Pastor Tex Mars. We hope you'll tune in next week as Pastor Mars concludes his sermon, There's Plenty of Room in Hell. Until then, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.